This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA with the greatest co-host in radio history, Michael Kirkpatrick, the 439th, and Brady Hole.
20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we are rounding out the month of July. And, post-All-Star break hasn't been fantastic for the Rockies. And I love what Spencer posted here because I was just thinking this the other day before he posted this. How many of the Rockies' three-game series are just copy and paste this season? Win one, everyone's excited. Lose one, close, usually with a late comeback to make it fun. Get blown out in one where nothing goes right. That is exactly how I've been feeling about this Rockies team lately. Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. Very predictable right now in this stretch for the Rocks.
It really is, man. It's like a roulette wheel. You got three options, and sometimes it's the first game that they win. Usually the finale is the one where they get blown out and you leave the series thinking, wow, that was back to the same old Rockies. And then that one game where you're thinking it's headed towards the blowout fashion, and eighth and ninth inning hits, and the best offensive team in the eighth and ninth inning strikes, and you feel like they've got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild. What is that, Spencer? Is that signs of just a young team trying to figure it out, or just a team that's still scattered, not quite, the pieces just aren't really put together yet?
Yeah, I think it's closer to that than the fact that they're just still figuring things out. I think, you know, when they go up against a guy, like the offense has been good this year. I believe they're right in the top five of runs scored, which feels kind of crazy. And it feels a little bit like fool's gold because they've had a couple of games here and there where they've scored 14 runs or 15 runs and had some just insane innings where it kind of dilutes the numbers a little bit in terms of total runs scored. But I think what it really boils down to is just the pitching is not good enough. And it in that game on Saturday this past weekend against the Brewers, you know, Ryan Feltner wasn't terrible. He allowed more runs than you'd like as a starting pitcher, but then the bullpen comes in and immediately makes it worse. And if you're sitting there with a 6-2 deficit in the eighth inning, you feel decent about it. But when it's 8-2, it just feels like a hill you cannot climb. And they still got the tying runner to the plate, but by that time the Brewers had brought their closer in. And, there was a little glimmer of hope in me that Cole Kerrig was going to do something special there and tie the game. But I think the big picture of this year is the fact that myself, who is obviously a diehard Rockies fan, you know, cover the team, but still have a lot of PTSD from the prior years and still some of that pessimism from what I think is going to happen. I have legitimately changed my feelings on the Rockies late in games to where instead of my early send tweet of that they're going to lose, I actually have some faith that they may come back and make it interesting. And I think that there in itself is just a step in the right direction, that they may lose a lot of games, but they're not going quietly, especially like we saw last year. Last year was just, you get down 4-0 and you just roll over, you don't score any runs, you don't make it fun, and you go on to the next game and lose again. So at least they're fighting, and they're fighting with some of the right guys in the lineup that we hope are part of this baseball team's future if they become successful.
Boy, you said it. I'm getting that feeling, too, just throughout the season, where even down a few runs late in the game, there's a crazy stat that they were pretty damn good. I don't have it in front of me, Spencer, but like in the eighth and ninth innings, they were scoring a lot of runs. They were pretty damn good at it. And so you did get that sense that, hey, even though they're bad, they still make, they tend to make things kind of interesting here, which is one of the reasons we point to as to kind of trying to stay the course and not go crazy at the trade deadline. But then at the same time, not every one of these guys is going to work out in the next 5 years. So you want to try to move pieces when the stock is high so you can get better pitching, Spencer.
Yeah, and I think that one of the toughest things about this trade deadline is there's starting to become players that have been fun this year and have severely outperformed, I think, even the club's expectations. And so when that happens after the year we had in 2025, you start to gain a little bit of emotional attachment to some of these players, and think, okay, they're fun, they're really good, but why would you trade them? And the reality of the situation is for the Rockies is they're not even one or two, they're multiple good starters and good bullpen pieces away from being a contending team. And if you don't want to wait 4 or 5 years for them to draft and develop enough guys to become those good starters and those good bullpen pieces, if everything goes correctly, you have to trade one of your 42 outfielders that you have at the major league level and figure out a way to find some pitching, because while they're a fun team, you know, the record's still bad, and I get that. And they haven't been, you know, and they're not contending for a playoff spot or close to 500 anytime soon this year, or maybe even next year, but there's a clear blemish on this roster, and it's basically right now, in this moment, every guy other than Tomoyuki Sugano that starts the game off for them every 4 days, and Gabe Hughes. I got to give some credit to Gabe Hughes. Those two guys, I feel like if the Rockies play 5 games, the only 2 games you really have a good shot to win are the games that Gabe Hughes or Sugano starts. The other 3 games, it's how many runs are they going to score, how quickly. I don't know if you're a betting man, Brady, but run in the first inning, if Kyle Freeland or Lorenzen or Hughes or any of the other guys other than Hughes and Sugano are pitching, it is the most money bet you can make in Colorado sports right now. I mean, I barely get the game on TV and it's already 2-0. I just get the update before I even have the game on that the other team has already scored. So they're getting in a hole early, and yes, they are fighting back, so that's at least a little improvement, but the starting pitching has just been so bad, and basically every guy they bring out of the bullpen, especially in those earlier innings when the game is already derailed, you're thinking, oh, sweet, we're replacing Michael Lorenzen and his 6.53 ERA with a bullpen pitcher that's hopefully going to pitch 2 innings, but his ERA is also 6.85. And they show the major league averages, you know, when they bring in a bullpen pitcher of all the numbers, and I think there's like one Rocky, that's maybe Senzatella, maybe 2 guys, that have better than league averages in any of those statistics. And you're like, how do you win baseball games that way? You can try to score 8 to 9 runs a game, but it's just not realistic in the world of baseball nowadays. So they have a clear blemish at the major league level, and there's one quicker way to fix that. And the quicker way to fix that is by trading some of the non-pitchers or even the pitchers and getting younger guys that you hope can be better than the guys you have up there now in the future.
Spencer, so what are you hearing again, you know, this week as far as trade rumors? We saw, you know, reports around Hunter Goodman that maybe teams are standing off a little bit because there's concern about his defense. What are you hearing about Hunter Goodman and any other particular move the Rockies might make at this point?
So the Hunter Goodman stuff, the defense is kind of a national media slant right now on Hunter Goodman, because I think other GMs and other teams are trying to drive the Rockies' price down. What we're hearing right now is they started off by saying, we are not interested in trading Hunter Goodman. And what that means to me is, in life, everybody's got a price. And if somebody's going to throw 4 prospects at you, 2 of them being in the top 100 for a catcher, that you have, you know, a younger catcher who's burst onto the scene, the best offensive catcher in baseball, you're going to at least listen and maybe make the deal. So there is a price for Hunter Goodman. I think a lot of the GMs around the league are a bit concerned at what the Rockies say that price is right now. But the good news is I think the Rockies in this new regime are going to stand pat on what that price is. That doesn't mean that they won't trade him, but that means that they have an idea of what they're going to get in return for him if they make the trade, and they're not wavering a ton on that. And I said this on our show today. I think another thing that's in the Rockies' favor this year, if you're a fan of Hunter Goodman and you don't want him traded, is they have so many other priorities at the trade deadline of guys that they really should get rid of, that Hunter Goodman falls pretty low on that list, right? And I've told people, they ask me, are they going to trade Hunter Goodman? And I actually have 2 feelings on it. I think I will be okay with them trading Hunter Goodman. You know, obviously the return is going to mean a lot to the Rockies' future, but I'll be okay if they trade Hunter Goodman if they go full Minnesota Twins of last year and trade 4 or 5 guys and then Hunter Goodman. If we leave this trade deadline, which is about a week from today, next Monday at 4 p.m. local, if they leave this trade deadline and only traded Hunter Goodman and still have all these outfielders and still have Charlie Condon and Zach Veen waiting in the wings to be called up, I think I'll be a little bit more perturbed, even if it's a great return, because there's priorities on this team. There's too many outfielders. There's too many guys that have value that is as high as it's going to be. And everybody says, you know, this is as high as Hunter Goodman's value is going to be. Well, I don't know if Jake McCarthy's value is going to get any higher than this. I don't know if Antonio Senzatella's value is going to get any higher than this. Same with Mickey Moniak, despite the injury. So you have so many priorities that you should trade that Hunter Goodman, you're going to have to be blown away by an offer to even consider it. But they should be focused on getting the other guys and the return you're going to get for the other guys in terms of pitching prospects.
Well, it's going to be really interesting because we've talked a lot about Paul DePodesta and kind of this new look management team and how they're going to go about things. This feels like that kind of that first test. I mean, the start of the season is what it is. You kind of, for the most part, you kind of have your players assembled, and we'll see. You get some surprises. How good are they going to be in the long term? But I feel like this is kind of where a lot of Rockies fans are leaning in to just see what DePodesta, what kind of moves he'll ultimately make here.
Yeah, and then that's an important thing too. We talked about the PTSD of Rockies fans on our show today, and that's the important thing to remember is this is a new regime. This is a new set of eyes. This is 10 to 20 new sets of eyes looking at the players you're trading and looking at the players that you're targeting to trade these guys for. So we have to have, if you want the Rockies to be good, you have to have confidence that these guys are going to make the right decisions for not only the current Rockies roster, but the future of this Rockies team. And you know, they had the draft last month, and the Rockies did something that they almost never do, and they used all of their signing bonus pool and actually even some of the overage. They get a 5% overage on the signing bonus pool, and they went and signed 20 of their 21 draft picks. The only guy they didn't sign was actually a top 100 prospect according to MLB Pipeline, and they drafted him in the 15th round, super late, like the 500th pick, and he's going to Oregon State. It would have been really cool if he would have signed because that would have showed something, but the pitcher that they drafted in the 5th round, they gave him $1.8 million as a signing bonus, and that slot value was around $700K. So they're going after these guys that they draft, and they're really trying to build the farm system up to be a top 10 farm system because that's how the Rockies will be consistently good. You're not going to sign the big free agents, especially pitchers. You're never going to sign those big free agent pitchers to come to Colorado. So you have to build from that ground up with your pitching staff and how you want these pitchers to be successful at Coors Field when they ultimately get to the major leagues. And I think they're doing a good job of it. And this trade deadline is that first real, I call it like the final stamp on the 2026 season of, okay, you've started to become a better baseball team. You're winning way more games than you were last year. Very low bar, but still a fact. You nailed the draft. You got a lot of pitchers in the draft, and then you signed those pitchers to come to your team and not stay in college or you know, re-enter the draft in 2 years. And now this final piece of the puzzle is how are you going to handle this trade deadline and really boost your farm system by some guys that honestly have a lot of value at the major league level to teams that are going to be competing for World Series this year.
Spencer, you talk about the pitching. Speaking of pitchers, Kyle Freeland, what do you see in the immediate future for him?
You know, I don't, it would be, to me, I know that the Rockies came out and said that both Michael Lorenzen and Kyle Freeland, the two basically worst starters in the MLB over the consistent year of the season, are available, and that's great and all. I would be pretty shocked if both of them get traded. I wouldn't be surprised if they got traded with a guy like a Jordan Beck or a Zach Veen, guys that the Rockies have kind of not necessarily given up on, but another team will see something in them, and it's kind of a trade sweetener. But I think Kyle Freeland stays a Rocky and kind of just finishes his career here. Whether it's successful or not is kind of another story, but I don't think Kyle Freeland gets traded. Other teams, you know, if you're looking for a starter in the MLB and you're a playoff team, a team like the Cubs, they're hungry for a couple starters. I don't think they're going to sign a guy or trade for a guy that's going to immediately be their fourth or fifth best starter. They don't need the ace necessarily, but they want a guy that you can trust to go out in a three-game playoff set and pitch. Kyle Freeland is right now not that guy. So I don't know how much value there really is in guys like Lorenzen and Freeland. But once again, same kind of concept as all the outfielders and trading Hunter Goodman. Tomoyuki Shigano, as much as I love the guy, has been otherworldly this year for the amount of money you're paying him and what you signed him to be. So if you're going to trade any starters, you know, get some value for that guy who you know is you know, at 36 years old is not going to be a part of your future. Lorenzen and Freeland, if you can get something for them, great. But the Rockies have been, and this new regime has been very defiant in the idea that they are not going to just, they're still trying to win baseball games this year. That is goal number, they say it's goal number one. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but they're still trying to win baseball games this year. And if you trade all three of those starters, you basically got Gabe Hughes and a bunch of random bullpen guys that you're going to have to start every day. So I don't think I see a fire sale in the pitching level of the Rockies, more in the outfield or the fielding level, if you will, the defensive guys. But if they trade one of the starters, I'll be fairly happy, but I don't think I see multiple guys going out with the fact that they don't really have any guys ready to come and start at the major league level every fifth day.
Spencer, certainly an interesting time for the Rockies. And that's, you know, I think that's a sign of success. We're talking about several names that might yield a good return. Even though they're 42-65, they're almost as good as they were last year total. So definitely having, I think, more positive conversations about this team. And I'm more interested in this trade deadline than I have been in a long time for the Rockies, that's for sure.
Exactly. And we declared there's still three levels of happiness this year for the Rockies outside of the trade deadline. We're actually talking wins and losses here. Win number 44 will be exciting because that is one more win than they got all of last season, which should be coming up here pretty soon. Win number 53 for me personally, because I have a bet on over 52.5 wins for the season. And then win number 63 will be an incredible feat for this team that lost 119 games last year if they do not lose 100 games. So we still have three statement wins left to collect in the rest of this Rocky season, and that's one thing we're holding out hope for outside of getting a ton of good prospects at the trade deadline and really rebuilding the future of this team.
Spencer, my man, what are you working on at DNVR Rockies that we can check out later throughout the week?
A lot of trade deadline stuff. I think this is, like you said, this is one of the more intriguing trade deadlines for the Rockies. They should be, if not the top seller, one of the top two sellers in the entire major league. They've got legitimate guys with value that could be going out. We'll have a live show on our YouTube channel during the trade deadline. So 4 p.m. is the trade deadline here, Denver time. We'll start to go live at 3 p.m. Hopefully, I've been talking about a few trades already made. And then that last hour when everything really heats up and guys get moving, we'll be live the entire time reacting to any of the trades. So you can check that out over at the DNVR Rockies or DNVR Sports YouTube page.
I'll be going to you first, my friend, when it comes to all things Colorado Rockies. Spencer, appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up with you for a very important segment of ours next Tuesday.
Yes, we're hopefully talking about 7 to 10 new Rockies that are no older than the age of 23. And a lot of Rockies in the ages of 24 to 28 that are in other places flourishing.
I love it, man. Appreciate you as always. Looking forward to our next chat.
Thanks so much, Brady. Talk to you then.
Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. I'm torn, Michael. I mean, Hunter Goodman is like the face of the Rockies right now. There's excitement around the Rockies.
And he's good, man.
He is good, man. He's good.
I don't know if he's a good man, too, but
I think he's a good guy.
Comma man.
I think they got some good guys on this team. They play San Diego tonight at 7:40, and then they'll play an afternoon game tomorrow at 2:10. So Lorenzen and Hughes will be starting for the Rocks the next two games. We'll see. We'll just see how it goes. Michael, I predicted 60-ish wins.
I don't even remember.
I don't remember either, because I just threw a number out there because I didn't really care. Oh, I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, they're definitely going to hit that.
60-ish?
I think so.
They're at 42 right now. That's a lot.
As long as they get 63, I would like for them to get 63.
They played 9 games since the All-Star break. Can you guess off the top of your head how many games they've won since the All-Star break?
3.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they are the most predictable franchise. By the way, they've been copying the Broncos with being the best in the 8th and 9th inning. The Broncos have been the best in the 4th, so there you go.
But their defense keeps them close enough in games where they can have a miracle run in the 4th quarter.
Now they just need better play calling.
For the Rockies?
Yes.
So better pitches?
Yeah,
better pitch calling? Better decision making by Warren Schaefer.
Throw the right pitches and throw them in the right area.
Yeah. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.